This is the To The Point podcast. Together with our ERISA attorney, we'll explore key Affordable Care Act and trending compliance topics, all in 15 minutes or less. Now here's our host, Sarah Gillespie.
Thanks for joining us. This is Sarah Gillespie. I'm the compliance director at Lipscomb & Pitts, and I have my co-host here with me, Stacey Barrow, our ERISA counsel. Hey, Stacey.
Hey, Sarah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the recently proposed Republican repeal and replace American healthcare bill. And this is, some are calling the path to Trump care. And so I'm hoping that you can give us some insight on what the Republican proposal includes and or does not include, and what this idea of Trump care might look like for our employers.
So the American Healthcare Act is, as you mentioned, proposed legislation. It was advanced by the Ways and Means Committee and the Energy and Commerce Committees of the House of Representatives. It was released to the public on Monday, March 6th, and it is certainly characterized as the repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act. This is all happening through the budget reconciliation process, which requires just a simple majority vote of Congress. So it is structured to kind of avoid the filibuster. We can talk about that in a little bit, but I'll cover the key provisions of this American Healthcare Act if it were to be passed into law. The major provisions affecting employers certainly would be the employer mandate, and that employer mandate gets repealed effective January 1st of 2016. And to be specific, it actually doesn't get repealed, it just the penalty gets set to $0 starting in 2016. So the law remains on the books, but it's effectively watered down to a $0 penalty. Likewise, the individual mandate penalty also goes to $0 starting in 2016. So individuals who pay an individual mandate penalty in 2016, presumably if this law were to pass, they could attempt to perhaps refile their tax return and reclaim any penalties paid. And employers, while they would be exposed to any penalties for failure to offer affordable coverage in 2015, that would be the only year of exposure for them. So those are probably the two most major provisions affecting employers. The other major provision would be the Cadillac tax. The Cadillac tax is retained in the American Healthcare Act, although it is further delayed until 2025. It was originally scheduled to go into effect in 2018. It was later delayed until 2020. And now under this proposal, it would be kicked down the road until 2025. And that's that 40% excise tax on the value of high-cost employer-provided coverage. The good thing about this provision is that it does not include a cap on the employer tax preference for healthcare. In an earlier leaked version of the American Healthcare Act, the employer tax deduction for group health insurance was capped at the 90th percentile of current premiums. So it would have been essentially a 10% tax passed right back on to employees. That was looking to be a very unpopular provision, and thankfully it did not make its way into the proposed AHCA, although we're not entirely out of the woods yet. It is thought that this whole Republican ideal of healthcare reform is a phased approach. This is phase one, and there'll be two more phases to follow. And possibly in those next phases, we may see a renewed attack on the employer tax preference for health insurance. And so that's something we'll certainly be keeping a very close eye on. A couple of other points before we move on to the next question. The AHCA make significant changes to the ACA's insurance coverage and market stabilization provisions. For example, it allows insurance carriers to charge older Americans five times as much as a younger enrollee would be charged. Right now, under the Affordable Care Act, that ratio is limited to 3-to-1, and that would increase to 5-to-1 under the AHCA. There are some enhancements to health savings accounts that are part of this proposed law, although this is really nothing all that new. These proposed HSA enhancements have actually been languishing in Congress for the last 10 years or so, and they're just finally being brought to the forefront and added to this bill here. But there have been standalone measures for years trying to make these same HSA enhancements. Other impact is major relief from many of the ACA's taxes and fees. Certainly the taxes on high-earning individuals would be repealed, as well as some of the other taxes like the tax on tanning beds and limits on provider compensation, and we can cover all those in a few minutes as well. And then perhaps the largest change, which is not directly impactful to employers, is a curtailment of Medicaid reforms. This is probably the piece that I think caused the most consternation out there. This is feeding into the Congressional Budget Office's report that about 24 million Americans would lose coverage as a result of the AHCA, and a very large part of that is related to the curtailment of Medicaid expansion under the ACA and a changing of the Medicare grant system to either block grants or per-member type of funding from the government.
So in regards to some of the taxes that you were talking about would be removed or alleviated through the Republican plan, did you mention PCORI fees or the health insurer fee? I know a lot of employers have been asking about those.
The health insurance industry tax, that does get repealed under this proposed legislation as of 2018. I believe a manager's amendment, it just came out last night, and I haven't fully digested it yet, but I was taking a look at it prior to this call, and it seems they've moved the date up for that from 2018 to 2017, which would be good to get rid of it a little bit earlier. The proposed legislation does not appear to repeal the PCORI fee at this time, although that sunsets in a couple of years anyway.
Right. Okay. So what would you tell employers who want to know what do I do with all this information? Do I not plan for 2017 reporting? Do I let some things go? Can I let some things go? What would you tell an employer? Because we are getting some questions about that.
I think the message right now is to stay the course and continue with your compliance efforts, continue to assume that the law will remain in place. There's certainly been a lot of reporting about this and a lot in the news, but this bill is a long ways away from becoming law. It hasn't even been voted on yet by the House of Representatives, and there's a serious question as to whether or not they're even going to have the votes to get it past the House, much less past the Senate. So this really is a bit of a ways away from becoming law. The requirements are still subject to change. The provisions are still subject to change. So I think the best advice really for the time being is to stay the course, and we'll certainly keep Lipscomb and Pitts and their friends and clients updated on any movement on this legislation.
Well, that concludes our conversation about Republican proposal, but I hope you got some helpful information and tips out of that. And be sure to plug into one of our other podcast topics for more.